Good evening. We are here for the Planning and Community Development Committee meeting. My name is Cynthia Delstrinos Johnson. I serve as the chair of this committee here with fellow council members, Councilmember Hogarty and Councilmember McLeod. And we have one item for tonight's agenda, and it is an ordinance for streamlining the zoning code. We have Nora Gierloff, the Community Development Director, who will lead this item off.
All right, good evening, Nora Gierloff. So I guess what I thought I would do is kind of step back and kind of give a little bit of big picture context, and we can kind of narrow in on what's happened since you guys saw this issue last, which was at PCD in June. But if you want to ask questions or dig in or whatever, I'm happy to give you whatever information is most useful to you tonight. So I think we started this whole discussion around the idea that there was a desire on part of the council to focus staff time on customer service and permit review, and you're feeling that those were really important needs for the community, and that there was a feeling that the council was open to suggestions around efficiency and streamlining, and so you wanted ideas brought forward to you. And so coming up with ways where we put the staff hours really where they affect the outcomes and work towards that. So in June, I brought three suggestions to PCD, and we talked about them, and PCD, I feel like, gave me the go-ahead to further develop each of those items, and in fact, decided not to send this on to COW, as you felt, I guess, there was strong support for each of those things. So this is the first of those items that I'm bringing forward. And so it went directly to Planning Commission. So to recap, this ordinance is really focused on our process for updating the zoning code. So right now, it tracks with updates to the comp plan. So that's intended to be a fairly intensive process. And there's really no flexibility for different kinds of updates or how intense different updates might be. So it requires five meetings. So PCD, Planning Commission, which can have a work session, but definitely has a hearing, and then back through PCD, another public hearing at COW, and then a presentation. So that requires two staff reports. It's a process that usually takes 4 to 6 months by the time you work out all the scheduling between the two different bodies and getting the staff reports and the notice for the hearings and all that kind of thing together. So the proposal was to give the City Council flexibility to determine a review process that was scaled to the item that was being considered. So if it were something that were very minor, there was a typo in the code that we found, or there was a desire for responsiveness, and a developer found something and an inconsistency in the code, and they'd really like it resolved before they apply for something, that the council could fast track things and say, you know, we think the direction is clear on this. We don't really need a recommendation from the Planning Commission to decide to fix a typo. That's a decision we can make ourselves. On the other hand, if the council felt like, hey, we're talking single family design standards or accessory dwelling units, that's really a policy issue where there could be a wide range of outcomes. And that's really where we want the Planning Commission to dig in and to give us a policy recommendation and sort through all the different decisions we could be making. And just as a point of interest, we are the only city that requires two public hearings for zoning. There's a table in the staff report that looks at all of our kind of adjacent cities, and it's about 50-50 for cities that hardwire in a Planning Commission recommendation versus cities that don't. Some cities allow Scrivener's errors, typos kind of thing to be addressed even without a public hearing. If it's, you know, like, oops, we said the wrong thing, the council can just fix it quickly. So that's not what's in your ordinance. What's in your ordinance is saying, when an ordinance is brought to the council, they can determine the review process, whether that means they want work sessions and outreach and recommendations from the Planning Commission, or whether they say, You know, this is something that is straightforward and easily dealt with, and we're just going to handle it ourselves, have one public hearing in front of the city council. And then, of course, while we were in there, we had some housekeeping changes. We felt like we could be a little clearer about the comp plan docketing process, which we follow the state law, but we don't really explain that in our code about why it takes longer and why we keep a list and only look at it once a year. So we just, there's some other changes that you see in there that are really just kind of administrative, providing a better explanation in the code for what we do. So anyway, so that all happened when I, after talking with the PCD in June, I went and briefed the Planning Commission under Director's Report also in June. Timeline let us do that and talked about the three proposed changes and said that they'd be coming forward to them for recommendations. So then we had the Planning Commission hearing in July. We had five commissioners at that meeting, at that hearing. And so there were some discussions at that meeting. We heard some concerns, although they didn't have a lot of clear direction about information they needed to move forward in making decision or code language that they'd like staff to develop. Some of the comments we'd heard were that the staffing, you know, some of the reasons we'd given for wanting to streamline was doing more with less in terms of our staffing. And so we'd heard the staffing situation was temporary and we shouldn't be making permanent procedural changes based on what could be perhaps a temporary crunch in terms of staff time. There was talk about loss of public input opportunities going from the two hearings to one hearing, although we're really an outlier in calling two hearings for these. And I think generally a feeling around the loss of the Planning Commission's opportunity to contribute. There were some suggestions that if the city council wanted to streamline, they should focus on their own procedures because four of the five meetings are council meetings, not commission meetings. And so there was one commissioner most strongly who was advocating continuing the discussion to August. So they closed the hearing, but they continued and put it on the August agenda. So then August, which was Thursday, unfortunately, we lost one of our commissioners. She wasn't able to attend, and so we were down to four commissioners. And so four is a quorum, so we needed to have all four of them on the same page in order to take action at that meeting. So, you know, I think we can all look at the minutes or look at the recording. I mean, my feeling from having been there was we had one commissioner who's pretty much okay with the language as written, who saw a need for being able to make some distinctions about the different types of amendments they might be seeing. One commissioner who was a pretty firm no. And then one and two of them who were, you know, kind of gave an effort to maybe define some language to kind of narrow the scope, maybe put some language in around, well, if it's truly administrative or procedural, perhaps that would be okay for the council to keep, and putting some language about more substantive or policy-oriented ordinances the Planning Commission really wanted to see. So we kind of went through some different ideas or scenarios. We were having a hard time identifying things that they felt comfortable with the council choosing to keep and not forward onto them. And it didn't seem like that was going to be persuasive in changing the no votes opinion. So it was kind of late at night. It did not seem like we were moving towards a consensus, that people weren't sort of coalescing on a particular set of language. And so just tried to kind of bookend their options there. So one option would be to continue it for another meeting and probably hold another Planning Commission hearing so that we could bring in the commissioners who had missed out on that first hearing. And hopefully we'd be back up to seven people talking about it rather than four. And then we could have another go at maybe crafting language that we could get a majority of the commissioners to get everyone
Or the other option was to send it back to the city council and say, we just don't think this is right. We think you guys should think about this again. And so that's ultimately what they opted to do. We had four of them saying, sending it back with a recommendation not to approve at this time. And so that's why we're here. We're back here tonight. Probably not the outcome we'd hope to get something to move forward on. But so here we are. So I'm hoping that council can maybe give me some direction about whether they'd like to continue to work on this, whether they feel like it should be a more restrictively written ordinance than the one you see in your packet, or whether you feel like it's appropriate for the council to have this degree of leeway in determining review procedures, given that there's a pretty wide range of things. When we talk about zoning code amendments, I mean, literally it's adding a comma versus making a major policy change, and whether you should treat those things differently, or you want to give yourself the ability to treat those things differently. Where would we like to go with this discussion?
Let me take questions. Let's take questions from council members. Councilmember McLeod, we'll start with you. We can't hear you. Uh-oh.
Muted.
Okay, I'm there now. Before I go into some questions, and I do have some, can you, Nora, share with me just the urgency or the timeline, why we're using a fifth Monday for this sole agenda item in a committee meeting?
I'm not completely clear on that. I think Laurel reached out to me and asked if I had an item. I don't know if there was something that was more urgent that dropped off of this agenda. I said I thought I could get something together and it would be good because we'd, you know, been delayed a month. But I don't think I drove this day.
Okay. Okay. And then you mentioned about the five public meetings. Can you state where those five are at again?
So generally for code amendments, we come to PCD first. And we say we have an idea or a request for a change to the zoning code. We get head nods that this is something that we should spend time on pursuing. Then we go to Planning Commission for a public hearing. And sometimes we also have a work session with them, depending on, you know, how in-depth this is. Then we bring the Planning Commission recommendation back to PCD, then COW, then a regular meeting.
So the public can come to a committee meeting, but we don't really look at that as a public hearing. It's just another meeting we're having. So we really have two public hearings, one at the Planning Commission level, one at the COW.
That's true.
Okay. So then I also want to ask about the recommendation. The Planning Commission voted no. There were four of them that voted no, and two just kind of recuse themselves?
So since they hadn't been at the public hearing, if it were a quasi-judicial case, they could not participate at all. Because it was a legislative matter, I checked into it, and especially since we didn't get any public comments at that hearing, they could have said, I've read the memo, I've read the minutes, I feel like I've gotten enough background to participate. And so I gave them the option if they wanted to do that or not. And the two of them said they did not want to participate in a voting way at that meeting.
Okay. We got a letter or an email today from Sharon Mann, who was not there. She said had she been there, she also would have voted no. So while the record shows four that voted no, looks like it could have been five had she been in attendance. Okay. So then they're saying no, they don't like this recommendation, and yet you want to come then to this committee meeting, and I guess let's see if, in spite of their no, we're willing to move it forward. I'm trying to understand that piece of it.
Well, they made a recommendation, and I feel like the council needs to hear that recommendation. That's, we would normally close the loop on something that you referred to them, to the planning commission.
Because I think I would like to hear more about why they said no, which I would usually read in the minutes, but this has already been teed up on an agenda and they met Thursday. So I don't know, did we get the cart ahead of the horse, or the timeline seems really short because from a Thursday meeting, I don't know how long it takes to put the minutes out and to include them in an agenda packet, but I'd like to hear more about their no, and I don't have a way to read that.
I am paraphrasing and condensing, of course, in this. I think there was some feeling that they would be cut out of things that they feel like they could give valuable input on if it were not, if it were up to the council to decide on a case-by-case basis.
And that's probably true. You know, our plates are full as council members, and sometimes we don't get to do as deep a dive into a subject as we would like to or hope to. Most recently, there was a discussion about which way a front door faces. I thought it valuable to read the Planning Commission notes on that. We had a little longer conversation on it. So it can be helpful. On page 17, there's a draft of the ordinance. Is this the ordinance then that you would want to go to council?
That is the current draft, yeah.
Okay, on page 18, the second whereas says that the Planning Commission held a public hearing to receive testimony concerning amending the TMC, and at that meeting they adopted a motion recommending the proposed changes. Can you explain that?
I did not catch that between Thursday night and Friday morning. You're right. That should get changed.
Okay. So we might have been running a little too fast on this one. The event's too close to one another. Another thought that I have is item on page 20, item B, in that first line, if we give more authority or more decision-making to the staff, are we giving away our elected power? And by that, I mean all the electeds live in Tukwila, and they have to live with the decisions, the designs, whatever happens. A lot of staff does not live here, and they come here, they do a job, and they go home. And we're the ones that the residents are coming up with. Why is this house like this? Or, you know, whatever the zoning situation is. And, you know, would residents say, oh, well, no, we elected you guys to make these decisions and oversee these decisions. And are we losing that or kind of giving it back when then the administration or the staff that doesn't live here is making those decisions? Do you have any thoughts on that comment?
This one in particular, it was recommended by the city attorney, and I think the idea was that, so with the docketing process, things come in throughout the year and we collect them all and then we take them to council in the spring. And so if something came in as an, and it was an emergency, staff would be the first people to see it. And that if we waited until the next spring for the council, it would have been sort of too late to declare it an emergency, right? It kind of needs to be the first person who touches it when it comes in the door to fast track it and take it out of that docketing and have it heard out of turn. So I think that was the intention, is that staff would be the one catching that and raising it forward to the council.
But if in an emergency state, they couldn't bring it then to a committee or to the COW and say, guys, we have this kind of a hot item. And so rather than wait until the spring, we're going to bring it to you now.
So someone has to be the person who flags it. I'm fine with you not making this change. It doesn't make any difference, really. It's somebody flags it, whether it's the first person who sees it or the second person. That's fine. I think that was the thought behind it, and there's really not much else to it. I mean, ultimately, the council would need to agree that it is or is not an emergency. It's just, do we pull it out and take it to them so they can see that?
Okay. I'll yield back for now, and I may have more questions or comments.
Kathy?
Yeah, so I'm going to go through this chronologically. So there was a meeting in June, which I don't really know. I should have listened to it. I was not there at that meeting when all this was moved forward, and there were three items that are. So the question that I have about this, choosing this particular item to be first, is how much does that, this particular type of change affect the day-to-day permitting process? Like, so today we've got somebody on up near the high school who has a house that they want to demolish and build. And their permits are being slowed down. Would this help that in any way? For some reason, their permits are slowing down and they're well known, so we're all hearing about it.
I don't want to oversell this change. This is a relatively minor thing. It would save some staff hours a couple times a year. It's not a huge change. But I do want to give an example. When we adopted the residential design standards in the Tukwila South overlay, we inadvertently deleted the commercial standards, the heights and the setbacks. Nobody realized it, and then the Sigalis were looking through the code, and they had a tenant who wanted to move forward, and they're saying, there's no standards for commercial buildings. And we're like, you are right. That was our mistake. We need to fix that. So it happened that we were in the middle of this housekeeping ordinance and we were able to slip it in and deal with it relatively quickly. But if that had happened any other time, they would have been in this 4 to 6 month process. And you would have been sending it to the Planning Commission to get a recommendation on whether we should just live with a Scrivener's error or whether we should fix it or not. I mean, I don't ever see the council saying we don't want to fix an error. So is it worth putting it through that additional process and making them wait longer in order to get approval to fix something like that?
Okay, I get the sense though that this ordinance isn't just addressing Scrivener's errors. I think it goes beyond that.
Right, I think the council would exercise good judgment about what they actually is a policy decision they want a recommendation on versus something that there's probably, it's a yes or no question, fix or not fix.
Give me an example of like what it might be.
We could walk through what was in the last set of housekeeping amendments. So there was some issues with our definitions, like whether we were saying outpatient medical clinic or clinic outpatient medical. So these are not time sensitive things, but they're usability items in the code. There were a number of things like we adopted a new, what we used to call sensitive area ordinance, and then we changed the name to critical area ordinance. So we updated that whole chapter, but we didn't catch references to it in other parts of the code. So they were still saying sensitive areas where this was, they should have been saying critical areas. So we were picking up on that kind of thing. Similar with landscaping, we updated the landscaping, but there were some inconsistencies in the various zoning districts that didn't get picked up as part of that ordinance. And so we're suggesting that we go back and clean these up.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. The doors that first of all, we wanted, that's because that's the most top of mind, right? So the door example, where it's like, if you have it at the side of the house, now it needs to be 40 feet back instead of 20 feet back. Yes, we'll let you do that, but it's got to be 40 feet back. Where would that have come to the council at all, or would that have just remained within the Planning Commission?
So that wasn't in the ordinance. The Planning Commission added it to the ordinance. So it wasn't part of the housekeeping proposal. It was, they were looking through that section and said, hey, we want to make another change.
So that's why I think it's really important that the Planning Commission be, they're the experts on this. This stuff's just totally off our radar. It is one of the reasons that I know it seems more cumbersome, but I think it's really important because we don't even know that we need to remand it to the Planning Commission. We don't even know what we don't know. So that's one of the reasons that I think it's best to leave it like it is. And then I have some questions about process. So in July, I was reading the minutes of July, and it said that, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I marked it. It said that the commissioners wanted to have this come back with some changes. Did it come back with changes?
I did not get any direction on either additional information or language that they would like for me to develop. I did add the table about what other cities do.
Okay, I'll need to look that up again. Okay, so this was from the hybrid meeting that I was not at. It was just you and Deshaun for that one. And then, so there was some sort of discussion, which I have because I've got the minutes to this, about the whole process. And there were some commissioners that were like, well, yeah, it seems like it's okay. And then some that were like, absolutely not. So too, right? And so one of my questions is, so what changed at the August meeting that made them all say no? And I don't have minutes or audio. So I don't have that. And that I want to hear that.
Sure. So we had 4 voters. So we knew if they were going to do any action, they needed to all be voting on the same motion to take action. So, you know, like I said, I think we still had one who was okay with it as written. We had 2 who were attempting to craft some language on the fly in order to find a compromise. And there was one who still seemed pretty firmly no. And again, I feel like I gave them options of continuing to work on it or sending it back to council. And I think the decision was to send it back to council.
So my point is that in order to deliberate on this and make my own decision, I would like to read those minutes and listen to the audio in order to make any kind of decision. So I'm looking at this. It says, Director Gerloff offered to return with some alternative draft language or whatever she can do to support the PC deliberations. The commission did not provide with specific direction on the information desired. It's unclear as if they were expecting for there to be changes on this draft or not. Because it looks like what happened, tell me if I'm right, is that the identical draft came back in August.
That's true.
Okay. So it just came back just so there's no changes on it, whatever. So, and then they deliberated again. And at that time, some sort of discussion happened that I would be very interested in hearing that made them all vote no. They were they chose to vote no, and then we have a 5th commissioner, so we have 5 out of the 7 that voted 2 with 2 abstaining. So there's enough questions about this that I would just say that you go on to something else. That would be my suggestion, that this is unclear. This is a lot of staff time. And there's probably other things that you could do to help the process, such as the day-to-day permitting. Maybe start looking at those and just table this for now, because I don't have enough information to say yes either. I'm unclear as to where what means a minor change and what doesn't. I'm uncomfortable with having the council have the ability to remand it back to PC when we don't have all the expertise that they supposedly do. So I would just like to leave it and move on. That's my suggestion.
Thanks, Kathy. I did have an opportunity to read the minutes that were included from the July meeting to kind of get a sense of how the Planning Commission felt. I also don't feel like I have enough information to make a decision on this ordinance. So I also don't feel like this is ready to move on to the committee of the whole. without being able to see the meeting or see the minutes from the meeting that just happened. What I did see is that I think where we are in agreement with the Planning Commission is that we are all interested in, like, how do we get greater efficiency? How do we make improvements to this process? And my question is really, is spending time on this specific ordinance going to get us closer to that? Or are we not utilizing the time that we all have as council members, as staff, you know, your time, the commission members' time to get to that goal that we all have? We all share this goal of improving the planning process. And I think day to day is what we want to see. This is a process thing that matters. Like, you brought to us an option of changes, but my question is this the best focus of our energy right now? Or is there another one of the three that you brought to us that might be better, more needed right now, more timely, like what you need, what your staff need to improve the process on a day-to-day basis? Like, if it is one of those things, Nora, like, then I think that we should, you know, work on this. But if it's not, if it's a small change that won't impact day-to-day, then maybe it's not the best use of the time to go down this route and continue to put drafts. And, you know, I do want to work more with the Planning Commission so that we can have something that we all agree upon. But I'm just hesitant to move forward on this one because it doesn't seem like you mentioned this would be a relatively small change, won't impact the permitting day-to-day processes. And it seems like there's just still considerable work to be done on the ordinance that's proposed to get it to a place where we all feel good about it. So, I mean, I want to hear from you about what you think is really going to make the biggest impact to improve the permitting process day to day, like a bigger, what's going to have the biggest impact? Because I also know that you guys are working on the comprehensive plan, which is a lot of work. And we're all, you know, dealing with budget right now, and we just have to be smart about where we spend our time. But I think we're all interested in, like, what you're trying to do. But I'm not convinced that this is the best one to spend the effort and energy on. That's just how I'm feeling. But I want to hear your thoughts, Nora, about where we should be focused on in regards to streamlining permitting.
Well, the second suggestion was moving from a Board of Architectural Review, which is the Planning Commission, to Administrative Design Review. That is a much bigger change. We've developed an ordinance around that. It's a much larger ordinance because of all the places that we reference the board throughout the zoning code. It is strictly a procedural change in that none of the criteria would change. There would still be public notice. We hold to the same standards, but it would be a staff director decision rather than a public hearing decision. We've received a lot of requests from developers over the years for an administrative approach. It does hold things up because we have to wait for the next BAR meeting that's available. We have to do the notice. There's some concern on the part of developers that they work with staff for a number of months and then they have to go to a different body that hasn't seen it yet that may make different decisions or put in place different requirements than what they feel like staff is recommending approval on. I think that would make a significant tangible difference to the permitting process and to our larger projects. But if there's not appetite for these kind of small changes, I'm feeling like maybe we shouldn't spend any more time on those big kind of changes.
Yeah, I do. That's another process that removes the Planning Commission and public input. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I have a lot of appetite for that right now. Because so if you take the BAR out of it, then there's no public process. It's just staff. So we're never involved in it anyway, but the Planning Commission, which is, you know, appointed representatives of the community, is then removed. So I'm personally not interested in going that route right now either. There's got to be more. So these are two, both the things that have just been selected are things that remove the Planning Commission from the process. Do you have anything to suggest that doesn't do that, that's not removing the Planning Commission from the process?
The third item was looking at our SEPA thresholds. And there's a process that we can go through to raise the threshold for when a project needs to go through a SEPA checklist. It's a more technical and involved process, and I'm not sure when we'll be able to pick that up, but it is probably fit more into the criteria.
Do you have any ideas for things that would like streamline things day to day? Is everything this big picture? Do you have other things?
Well, not that need to go to council. I mean, I can do things differently in my office.
Yes.
But I wouldn't be bringing them to council for you.
Right. And yeah, and that's the other thing is that we are not administrative. So I don't know that the council really is interested in things that go to council. We just want it to be streamlined. I don't know how much we've had an impression that we need to be involved in it. I think it was more we want to see that. We don't need to be involved in that decision. If it's an administrative decision, we would love reports out on that. Is that true? Am I just speaking for myself? It's kind of hard, Tom.
I think Tom has this. Let's hear. Go ahead, Tom.
The little hand works.
Yes.
So I'm following in line with the opinion that Councilmember Hogarty is expressing. I got a lot of value when we did this last round of code amendments or changes on the input from the Planning Commission. That kind of meant a lot to me as far as some of the areas that they picked up on and had discussion about. I'm not so sure I would have caught on the council level. So I want to say that was helpful. I like what you're talking about on number one, the SEPA threshold. Nora, you and I have had discussions before where you mentioned this area and that area is just being too restrictive in our code. And I wonder if those type of relaxing, or is that the same as, you know, raising the SEPA threshold, if those are areas that we could work on that would allow things to go through. Now, having spent some time on the Planning Commission and being on the bar, that I often thought when an item comes to the Board of Architectural Review, it was pretty baked already. And it really was hard to say, well, yeah, you didn't consider this or that, and that's going to be important to us. Is there a step where a developer could come before the bar and hear the items that are going to be important to them before they spend all that time in planning and dollars with architectural design, and then bring it? Because like I said, a lot of times it can be tweaked some, but it's a little bit baked already when they see it. And some of the thoughts that they're going to have are going to be important to the Planning Commission or the Board of Architectural Review. I often thought, boy, that should have been considered earlier in the design process.
So I'm not aware of any peer cities that have a two-stage design review process. Seattle does. They have a series of independent boards, generally by design professionals, and they have both a preliminary and a final design review hearing. It is widely reviled by developers as taking a long time. There's an interesting article in The Urbanist about the impacts they feel it has on development.
Okay. Well, then
so
I would probably,
I would not put that in a streamlining category myself.
Okay. I accept that. I do then probably fall on number one as one that I would like to see some of those codes or processes relaxed a little bit. Even based on conversations you and I have had over the years. And right now with 2 and 3, you know, I don't want to lessen the public input, which I see as 2, not 5. because we don't really make space for public input at a committee meeting. So they really have two chances to speak, right? At the public.
I just think from a staff point of view, we have to prepare for five meetings. There are two hearings, which is one more than any other city requires.
Okay. Could you eliminate the very first one, the initial committee meeting, and just say, all right, we got an issue here. We're going to go get the Planning Commission's opinion, and then we'll bring it to committee?
That's up to you guys.
Okay.
Generally, the Planning Commission exists to do work that you delegate to them, either on a case-by-case basis in case of an ordinance or an active issue or in the code. There are some planning commissions which are independent bodies. That's not how ours is set up to generate their own work plan. It's things which are delegated to them by the council. You could change that, but that's not our current situation.
But we're proposing here to give the administration the authority to make some of these decisions on changes if we went down that road. Maybe we're not going to go down that road, but why couldn't the administration have the authority to say, this is a Planning Commission issue, we're going to take it to them, and then we'll bring it to committee with their recommendation, yay or nay?
I think there are many options available to you.
Okay.
We should discuss that with city attorney.
Okay. My final comment is, actually a little disappointed that this came to us without the minutes from the last Planning Commission, especially since they said no, staff recommendation is yes. And then the whereas just had a paragraph in there that shouldn't be in there or should be worded differently. So that's just expressing some thoughts on it.
So let's deal with the ordinance in front of us as it is now. I heard from Kathy that you say no, let's just stop moving forward on this
and work on something else.
Okay. Tom, what are your thoughts about this ordinance that was presented to us today?
I would not support this going forward.
So
no. No on moving this forward.
At all. So don't even bring it back to the Planning Commission. It's just a no. We're not going to move forward.
That would be correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I would take the Planning Commission's recommendation, which was no, they didn't support it, and I wouldn't support it either.
What are your guys'? Okay, go ahead.
Well, and this is, like I said, I got a lot of value out of working through those code amendments that we did with Max a few meetings ago, and just seeing some of the things that were caught. I just thought we would not have caught that on the council. I'm just thinking that, you know what, I think we need that as a layer to get the right answer. So that's where I would land.
Okay. Do we want to give Nora any direction on the other changes that were recommended? Well, none were presented to the Planning Commission yet, just this one.
I guess my feeling is you're not really interested in them. So not to put more staff time into it.
Well, would number one, relaxing the SEPA thresholds, how much impact would that have?
So it would save applicants the time and expense of filling out a SEPA checklist, and it would save staff the time of reviewing it and issuing the notice of application and SEPA determination. It would limit some public outreach because some things are kicked into a higher level of notice or longer notice periods if they trigger SEPA versus if they don't. So it would have some impact in public input opportunities.
So what about that one that you just spoke of then, relaxing SEPA? And then the two that you've mentioned to me in the past that our recreational requirements are way too restrictive and that our fire code is way too restrictive. I mean, what if just those three right there, we went to an effort of relaxing some of those? Is that something that would streamline and help in the application process?
So I'm not in charge of fire. My understanding is they are intending to take on a process to align the fire code requirements with other cities and the regional fire authority. And so I don't know where Jay is in that process.
Okay, so let's take that one off the table. But what about an effort to relax some standards that we have heard from developers or in comparison to other cities, we're more restrictive than our peers? Is that an effort that we could entertain that would have an impact on streamlining?
So the areas where we're really out of sync are in the MDR and HDR zones, and we honestly don't see a lot of, mostly those are built out. So unless you're tearing something down, you're not building in those zones. So it may or may not affect a project that might come up in the future. We're seeing a lot more development happen in our mixed-use zones, like the South Center area or along TIB.
Does this really just come down to not enough staff people?
I'm down two of my four planners at the moment, although I hopefully have someone starting on the first. And then we've made an offer to a half-time senior planner that may start in the middle of September. So there's maybe some hope in the future. Do we want to put the staff outcomes where they affect staff hours where they really affect the outcomes? And are we trying to focus on that versus administrative and process? I don't know. That's our intent, then I think there are things we can do, but I guess I'm not, it's uncomfortable to change the way we've been doing things. It's more comfortable to have a belt and suspenders, whether that's the way we want to staff things or not, I think it's a policy decision.
Yes, Tom, go ahead.
So when, Nora, you make the comment that it's uncomfortable to change the way we've been doing it, what piece is uncomfortable, and what is the change then that you don't like or you resist, or I don't know the right word to use there, but that we're reluctant to embrace?
It's highly unusual to require two public hearings on an ordinance. That's been the way we've done it. You know, it takes time. It takes city clerk time. I know she's very busy. So we can continue to do that. I don't think we get any comments on housekeeping type amendments, but it's a thing we're used to doing. We can continue to do it. I don't know that it adds value, and it does take staff time.
I have a question. How many times a year do you do that?
Well, every ordinance that touches its own code, which is a couple times a year. I'm not saying that this is the ordinance that will change everything. I think it does send a signal that we're open to procedural streamlining.
Signal to who?
Staff. I feel like people are very busy, and they're looking for a sign that council understands that and is willing to take even small steps towards looking at the value added for different things.
I think the perception is that this is not a small step, is why. But the SEPA, I could ask questions about that. So the SEPA review, why are our SEPA, do you have any history? I guess I won't say what's the history of our SEPA reviews being more restrictive than other places? So I take it that you could relax it and still be within the state standard. Is that right? So what happened that ours is more restrictive than the state standard?
They've raised theirs over time, and we haven't kept it.
I see. So that is something we could do. Yeah. Seems like a good thing.
Yeah, I would like, that might be a good thing to look further into, and if it would save staff time, well, that puts those hours on another project.
I don't want to. I think that the work that was put in to identify areas is important. I don't think that it just means drop it forever. The process change that you're recommending to us, because I think there's value in looking into it at some point. Maybe right now is not the best time, the best use of time, and maybe there's another one of these that we could look at to start, you know, showing that and building it. We're not in the administration. We don't know the day to day. We don't know what you're going through with shortage of staff and, you know, coming back from COVID and all of that. But I'd be interested in seeing, you know, the changes around SEPA, but I also recognize that you need to be judicious about how you use limited staff time. So I think what you're hearing from us is, yeah, we're interested in seeing an ordinance on SEPA, maybe put this one on hold for now. I think if you want to bring it back, we could see it with the minutes from the Planning Commission, or maybe, you know, I think that would be better just to see what their comments were. Maybe we could have conversations with some of the Planning Commission members, because it seemed like there was interest from some of them to make changes there, but it just doesn't seem like that one is ready right now. So let's not forward that one to the committee of the whole. Let's get sent the minutes from the meeting that happened. But if we did give direction, we don't want to just say no to any of this. Let's see what we can do or what changes we can make with the SEPA requirements as a next step on the three that you are working on. Personally, you know, I don't want to forget your comment about the big change, the big structural change. So personally, like, I'm just interested, if you have information, to just learn more about that one. Maybe our community's not ready for that right now. But if it really is something that sets us apart from what other cities are doing, I think it's worth looking at, because all of us are invested in seeing our planning department, you know, be the best one in all the cities. We want to improve the reputation. We want to help with the backlog. We want all of our residents, our businesses to be happy. Like, that's what we're all trying to get at. So I don't, I want to see, I want to, like, I really want to understand your perspective on that bigger change, even if it might not be one that we're all ready for right now, just so I can learn more. This is my first year on this planning committee, too, so I'm just trying to learn more with all of you. So does that sound good to everyone? Does everyone have, like, a good understanding of where we're leaving this meeting?
So what I hear you saying is that the staff will turn their efforts to the SEPA. That would be what we would direct. And then as far as what's on the agenda right now, let's just let it rest for a little while, mm-hmm. settle down and rest, and work on SEPA.
Okay.
I would be okay with that. And we can look at more of this later. But SEPA is a good start, and then maybe a next step after that, any other code language that could be relaxed that would allow, that were too restrictive, that would allow things to flow through a little bit better. So I agree with what you and Kathy just said.
Nora, does that sound good? Do you have any questions or thoughts?
No.
Okay. Is there anybody on, or any of the people online on the Planning Commission and want to speak? I just want to give space for that. All right. Are there any miscellaneous items?
I do I'm wondering if we want to request, this is me and my hard copy, request hard copies of the minutes to the August meeting, just so we can kind of wrap this up and tie it up, or we can look at them. They'll be online eventually, the minutes will, and then we can just see what they are.
Are those part of them? Do those get sent out to us automatically?
No,
or?
I used pre-pandemic, I would have both the their agendas and their minutes sent to me because I'm a paper person, and so I could keep track. But you know, with the pandemic, everything's changed. So
So Winnetta would create draft minutes, and then they would be adopted by the Planning Commission at their next meeting in September.
Yeah, so we get them in a while. Yeah, well, it's not like we need them right away or anything.
No.
It's just, like I said, to sort of wrap everything up. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a suggestion. I can always just ask myself for it.
Yeah. No, we should, like, if minutes are being taken tonight, can we say that we want to see the minutes from the Planning Commission? So, you know, when Laurel gets back, I'm sure she'll.
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing to include this packet with, because I would put the two together. So I would like to read them.
All right. Well, if there's no other thoughts, comments, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.